Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, movie fans. This is your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado on March 9th, 2010. We have a great show in store for you today, folks, because our special guest is none other than Legacy Perez, one of the most sought-after dancers in the entertainment industry. When my husband and I first saw Legacy on last season, So You Think You Can Dance, we both thought he had the potential to make it in the movies. And now this talented young man can be seen in such films as B-Girl, Dance Slick, and Hannah Montana, the movie, as well as appearing in Step Up 3, the movie to be released in 3D later this year. Plus, if you watched, and I hope you did, last Sunday's Academy Awards show, you saw Legacy performing with a dynamic group of dancers as part of the Best Musical Scores presentation. I'm so happy he could join us today. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Legacy.
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
I'm so excited. That was such a great intro. I appreciate that.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you here, Legacy, and we want to know about your reaction to participating in the Oscars and about some of your movies, but I know you're kind of sneaking away from a rehearsal today and that we only have you for 15 minutes, so let's just quickly bring on Nikki Starr and Jazz Shaw, who are helping with the show as usual. Nikki, is everything set up in our chat room?
Everything is ready to go.
Great. Thanks for taking such good care of our chatters, and thanks to everyone who signed up for the chat. We really appreciate you, as well as all our other listeners. And as always, we appreciate Jazz being here to co-host. Jazz, would you like to start the ball rolling with the first question for Legacy?
I could do my best, I suppose. I'll probably choke and just blow the whole thing. Legacy, as Betty Jo said, you know, welcome and thanks a lot for doing the show. You don't have much time, so let's get right into it. That's obviously one of the big events of the year for everybody is the Oscars. I don't know if that was your first time performing there, was it? And how did it go for you? What was, one of your most memorable, moments of being there and being able to do that?
You know what? It was my first time being on the Oscars. And to me, I mean, it's just the fact of it being the first time that there has ever been street dancing on the Academy Awards is a big event, because it makes me feel like, you know, we're doing something right and we're finally breaking through to not just some viewers, but, you know, the world to see what we do and how we do it. It was brilliant. It was amazing. Adam Shankman was one of the producers on it. So he gave us the opportunity. He had a vision of showing the world what he saw through his eyes. He was, I believe, LXD was. We were doing a show. I was actually on the show while they performed, but he saw them perform at the So You Think, not the finale, the week right before, and he fell in love with the performance, and he kind of in his mind envisioned this on the Academy Awards, and little do you know, we were on there on Sunday.
Oh. That was the best part of the Oscar show for me. I might be a little bit biased because I love dance so much, but to see that wonderful production number and you guys just did a great job. Didn't you think so, Jazz? It was great, wasn't it?
It was great in and of itself. It was also great, as Legacy pointed out, that it was something fresh. It was something different. It's always nice to see a little break from the more traditional. When there are musical and dance routines, they've tended to be more towards the classic stuff that we've seen over the years. And getting, a little new blood in there, that's always nice.
Yeah, you know, Jazz, my most memorable moment, I wanted to say, was towards the end in the middle of the performance, I did something on my hand and got a glass stuck in my hand. And
holy
while
cow.
I did it was like a really fine glass, but I couldn't, like, I did my movement and I kept going, and in the air I did a flip and I actually pulled it out as I flipped, and I went to the finale part of it, and right as I'm doing head spins, I recall standing up, looking into the audience, like, you know, I have a certain way of getting up after I do a move to present it, and I look right in front of me, literally 1 foot in front of me, Morgan Freeman is looking at me with the biggest smile on his face, and that, to me, set off my whole, like, that made my performance complete, because, you know, I'm also transitioning to be an actor, and I'm in classes, and I'm being submitted for pilots, and, you know, and I want to, you know, I look up to him very much. He's a brilliant actor, and he just motivates me so much to keep doing what I want to do.
Not just a brilliant actor, but one of the hardest working people in show business. There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how is your hand now? I mean, is
no,
there an injury?
No, it's fine. No, it was just a little glass that went in my on my thumb, inside my thumb, and I pulled it out, and I had a little blood, but I kept pressure on it while I danced, and then when I got off stage, I just wrapped it, and it's fine now. I heal like Wolverine.
and be still my heart, you look a little bit like him too. I'm not going to mention that name because I mention that name practically every show. But well, Nikki, how did you enjoy the performance of the dancers that Legacy was dancing with on Sunday?
Well, I just couldn't get over how great they meshed both the two different types of dance, and I was just really impressed. I think that, you know, every single song that they danced to, and like we were talking about earlier, how everything flowed into each other. I just thought it was great. I think it was the best dance performance I've seen on the Oscars.
Oh, me too. Yeah, it was just wonderful. And of course, I've been a fan of yours, Legacy, ever since So You Think You Can Dance.
Aww.
And I was wondering if your favorite routine on So You Think You Can Dance is the one that I would pick. What would you pick as your favorite routine?
Well, I had two that were my absolute favorite, but let's go with my first one because it touched my heart in a certain way. The fear piece was something I think that a lot of people related to. It was my second routine on the show, and it was like a game turner for me. I think that's when people realize that I can listen to music and actually move and have feeling behind my movement and really fall into a character where I can bring it out from my heart, and instead of just mocking the movements and trying to get over, you know, not being a technical person, as far as, you know, classical training. I felt like that routine was one of my favorites. And then the second one was the last to the table dance, where I flipped over the table, because obviously it's an adrenaline rush. It's you know, me flipping over the table while the girl slides under Eleanor. She was brilliant as well. But, you know, there was a lot of obstacles that you know, it's like very. I love obstacles because I think they create opportunities to find new ways to overcome the obstacles. And I was like, okay, my partner was hurt. She couldn't dance. Something was going wrong. The wardrobe malfunctioning. I was like, there were so many things going wrong that at the end it just turned out to be such a beautiful piece. So each individual piece had its meanings, but those two were the ones that stood out to me in my heart.
Those were great, great numbers, and I enjoyed all of them, but you didn't pick my favorite.
Which one was your favorite?
But I think this is always my favorite by whatever dancer does it, the Paso Doble. That's just so dramatic.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait, I forgot about that one.
Oh, that was just, that was,
you
just,
what?
It was, yeah?
It was that one was amazing to me as well, because it was really out of my range, and people told me, you know, I look at myself and I'm like, oh God, I could have done that different, I could have done this different, perfection.
Yeah.
But you know what, that one was the most free and fun that I could have done. That was like, everything has their own different categories, and me, like, my, that one was the funniest one to do, because I just let go at one point and I said, I'm just gonna be this person, and I'm looking like a bull hunter, and I was just that guy for that moment, and I lived it, and I had fun, and it was beautiful.
It was, and the staging in it and the lighting was just great, and I just kind of play that over in my mind because I thought it was such a gorgeous number. And I forgot to ask you, I was going to ask you this at the beginning of the show, how did you become interested in dancing?
You know what, I find it intriguing that when people, I mean, it's so difficult to learn, like go into classes and if you're not trained to like pick up other people's stuff. But the thing that made me feel the most connected was the movement to music, how people perceive sounds and make movement to them that's so beautiful. It made me want to really, you know, try to adapt and learn that. And I feel that it's made me find myself more so by doing that, by being able to just let go and say, I'm going to go learn this. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed dancing, and that's why I want to, you know, continue to be good at it and inspire other people to do it.
Well, you're certainly doing that. And, of course, this is Movie Addict Headquarters, so we have to ask you about some of your films. Jazz, do you have a question for Legacy about his films?
Well, yeah, because he has the film appearances, and I know we're running short on time, but two real quick things for you is how has the process worked for you as far as getting selected for movie appearances? And because Betty Jo is such a huge fan, I have to ask you, even for things that you're not in historically, do you have any favorite movie musicals that stand out for you?
Movie musicals. You know what I'm looking forward to? I hear that there is, have you ever heard of In the Heights?
Oh, yes.
On Broadway. I think they're coming out with a movie, and I'm interested in trying to take part in that. But
great.
As far as a musical, I love Singing in the Rain.
Yay, my favorite.
you rang a bell there. You hit Betty Jo right in the wheelhouse there.
You know, I feel like I connect with that because it's just classy. It's very elegant, and I love it. I love it. I would watch that every morning if I could.
I feel exactly the same.
How did you wind up getting
way.
Cast in your movie appearances? If you could share that with us just briefly.
Okay, so there's an audition process most of the time. Sometimes, you know, you have people that know, they watch the show and they're like, okay, you fit perfectly this part, just come in and read for us. Or most of the time there are auditions where you go and there's a handful, or actually there's hundreds of people trying to get that job, and your job is to wow them and make sure that they see you and that they know that they want to hire you. And you have to be confident, and you have to audition, and then you go through the first call, and then you have callbacks, and then you come back to the callbacks, and it's where the producers and the directors are there, and the choreographer, and everybody's watching you, and you have to do the same thing even better this time because they're bringing some people back that may be considered for the part that you're for. And then, you know, then you go home and wait, and your agency or somebody, one of the producers calls you and says, hey, I'm from this network, and from these pictures, Sony Pictures or whatever, and we just want to know if you're available for these dates to shoot. And you, by that time, your heart is pounding because you're just like, wait a minute, because you realize the process. It's not the destination that you've got to, but it's like the process getting there. It's going to the audition. It's submitting your headshot. It's writing your name, getting a number, standing in line, looking at other people doing the combination better, or if not, you know, standing out to you, and you're like, wow, I wish I could do that. But you have to bring your own style, your own flavor, and that's what gets you in the movies as far as, you know, your the process and the talent-wise.
Well, you're certainly having a lot of success with that, and I think our time is almost up with you, but I really would like to, I think I know the answer to this, but I'd like to hear you say it yourself. What do you want people to, what's the most important thing you want people to know about you and your work?
You know, it's, for me, it's a lot of inspiration driven. I like to get the youth, and I like to show them that even, I mean, not just the youth, but I think everybody, like my mom's friends, my great-grandparents, my grandparents, like everybody that I have contact with, I want to show them that whatever it is that they want to do, they can do it as long as you just invest time and put your heart into it. And I have a famous quote that I always say, I've been saying it for a long time, it's do what you love, love what you do. It's like if you can accomplish that and just go for it, it doesn't matter what happens as long as at the end of the day you go to sleep knowing that you were happy and you were very excited and it meant something to you. And by doing that, I believe that you inspire other people to follow in that path and follow your legacy. So, you know, I believe everybody has their own legacy, and I'm here to show people that, to carry that out.
You know, Betty Jo, before Legacy gets running back to work, Nikki is insisting. I have to point out the fans are online following the interview along in our online chat room. And Legacy, you have some big fans out there, and everybody wanted to commend you on So You Think You Can Dance and that you were very memorable.
Thank you. Thank you all so much.
And you are an inspiration, I think, to all young dancers and to all of us everywhere. You have been such a terrific guest in the short amount of time that we have, but please, please, please come back soon. Will you do that, Legacy?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. I want to thank the fans, exclusively the fans, because they're the ones why I keep doing what I do, and all the feedback that I get from them, you know, I have, like, there's other people's fans, like the Black Eyed Peas fans always write me little excerpts in my website, and they always like to keep connected, and I think that's the biggest part, to be unified and, you know, to just continue that unification, because I think that's what brings togetherness and love. I think that's what makes a difference. So the fans are amazing. You guys are amazing. I'm very excited to be on the show.
I hope you come back also, because we posted a link to another interview that you did and some pictures of you in the chat, and you have some brand new fans, including some young ladies who are making comments that I will not repeat on the show, but they're all very flattering.
well, that's good to know. We love those flattering comments, and we do appreciate our chatters and their responses.
Let's just say
but
they
I know
all find
Legacy
them extremely attractive.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much for that one.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, continued success with your dancing and acting career, Legacy. So bye for now.
Bye for now, and thank you once again. I really appreciate having some time with you guys and sharing some time with you. So be safe, and I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks for
Talk
coming.
To you soon. Thanks, Legacy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was fun.
Wasn't he great? I am just so happy that we got him today, because he didn't know that he was going to get called for this rehearsal today, and we almost didn't have him, and so he finally just agreed that he was just going to sneak away for 15 or 20 minutes so that he could do the show. So I'm really glad he was here, and I know we will be able to get him back.
This is one of those times I'm actually glad, Betty Jo, that you weren't following along live in the chat, because Nikki was teasing mercilessly.
Hey!
And you would have been cracking up, and we would never have finished the interview, because you would have been laughing so much at all the stuff going on in there.
Well, as long as they're having fun, that's the important
thing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good. Go ahead, Nikki.
I want to say something real quick. He is so gracious and kind. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I was expecting, because I didn't ever watch So You Think You Can Dance. However, he was just awesome.
Well, and very thoughtful. He has
a
mission, you know, to involve young people and to help them. And you know, he's very young himself, and I just think that he's going to really go places. And I'm sending him all the extra special good vibes that I can.
He did look quite young to me. He must be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a terrible guess at this stuff, but he looks like he's probably still in his early 20s.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. So we'll be hearing a lot more from him later. And I didn't know that he had been in Dance Flick. And so if he had been here a little bit longer, I wanted to ask him what it was like to work with the Wayans brothers, but I imagine that he was in that last scene, the last dance challenge scene, where all those impossibly crazy moves were being made. And so the next time he comes back, we'll devote time strictly to the movies that he is doing. But
well, I agree with Nikki about how gracious he was, because I mean, somebody with a career going like his to come off the Oscars, and he's got all these projects going on, and he's in the middle of a rehearsal, and he stops out and takes time to talk to the fans. I mean, that's a sign of a really gracious performer and somebody who appreciates the folks who make his career possible, who are the fans.
Yes, and I was so happy he mentioned the Black Eyed Peas, because we have so many Black Eyed Peas fans on Blog Talk Radio. But he's also worked with Rihanna, Toni Braxton, Chris Brown, and
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Didn't he tell us before the show that he had done some work with her, solo
he did
world
two tours?
Tours
with her.
Mm-hmm. Two tours
he said
with her.
2005 and 2007.
And I didn't get a chance to ask him about this DVD that he's just released, Let's Break, An Introduction to Breakdancing. So it's important, I think, to mention to the fans that is available on the DVD.
So he was one of the dancers that was upside down and spinning. And,
yeah.
Okay, that was just awesome.
Absolutely. He does like a human being couldn't do the moves that he does.
Right.
And
I know,
me neither. And he did and then when he was on So You Think You Could Dance, he could, you know, he adapted to the waltz and the foxtrot and modern dance and jazz and everything. And yet he's been this B-boy, the break dancer, street dancer all
over
the
place. Look at you all hit. Did you hear her, Jeff? She did a B-boy.
A B-boy, right.
She is she has the street credentials. I got to say that.
She's so street, yo. You're so street, yo.
Wow. And what a performer that cuts himself, starts bleeding on the stage in the middle of the Oscars and just keeps pressure on it and keeps on dancing.
I know, right?
That's crazy.
Something. That is definitely something. I'm even more impressed with him after the interview today. But I wanted to spend some time talking about the Oscars show, and I thought this having Legacy on our show would be a good way to segue into that. Did you get a chance to watch the Oscars show on Sunday night, Jazz?
Not the whole thing, but, some good chunks.
And how about you, Nikki? Did you get a chance to watch?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did, too, the whole thing. I was taking notes. I thought it had an awkward start, so I was worried. But, of course, remember, He Who Shall Be Nameless hosted the show last year.
Mm-hmm. Did you have high expectations?
Yeah, exactly, and I just desperately missed him. So when Neil Patrick Harris came out, you know, that was not a good
Patrick Harris made some really inappropriate jokes. I don't want to get carried away and just go into the whole thing, but I'll just say that I thought maybe a bit of that was a little bit over the line for the Family Hour on TV. I was more curious, Betty Jo, what did you think about our co-hosts for the evening and the chemistry between them?
I thought they felt uncomfortable. I mean, they looked uncomfortable. Maybe they didn't feel
I thought the same thing.
No, I did. And, you know, it's funny because I had this conversation with Demos that they must not like each other. I don't think they do in real life.
Yeah,
that's
they
how I felt.
So far apart. They hardly ever looked at each other. And I don't know, I may be alone in this, but I thought that there was too much George Clooney teasing going on.
Yeah.
I think he thought so too. I think he did too. I mean, he's a good sport, but I think Martin and Baldwin went a little overboard in that regard. And I know he's a tease himself. I guess he pulls these pranks on the sets. But it just seemed to be, you know, whenever they couldn't think of anything to say, they would have another little dig at. So I'm not you know, I thought there were some interesting and some funny jokes that they told, but it was all done rather awkwardly. So, but I thought there were some, you know, the production number of the dance group, that was the highlight for me. But I did like, there were a number of moments that I thought were really good. And the first one was with Christoph Waltz, the Best Supporting Actor
mm-hmm.
winner. He delivered.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, how articulate is that guy?
He is.
Well thought out acceptance speech about how he told about his exciting journey with the Quentin Tarantino in making Inglourious Basterds. And just he kind of showed up the other guys when they were giving their speeches. So that I thought was just wonderful. And Sandra Bullock, oh my gosh, she was so great. Talk about gracious and amusing.
She's the sweetest human being alive, I am convinced. She went to the Razzies the night before, and she was gracious there.
Why did she go to the Razzies, Nikki?
Because she got a Razzie for being the worst actress.
That was so great. That was so great. Not only that she gets worst and best two nights in a row, but she actually showed up for the Razzies. I thought that was a nice touch. Have a sense of humor about yourself. Even at that height of your career, someone that famous to be able to not take yourself so seriously. I think that's great.
I do, too. And what is that about the guy that had the most hits in baseball, also had the most strikeouts?
Babe Ruth?
So it kind of makes you think, you know, I mean, she's just making, you know, doing all these things. Like last year, of course, she did that great comedy, The Proposal, with Ryan Reynolds, which I thought she should have been nominated for instead of The Blind Side. And then she did The Blind Side, and she was great in that. And then she did that horrible movie that she got the Razzie for, All About Steve. She wasn't bad in it, I didn't think. I just thought...
I didn't see it.
Well, it's not definitely not one of her best, but there she had those three movies, and of course she knocked it out of the park in The Proposal and in The Blind Side. But she looked so gorgeous too. That
mm-hmm.
dress, that sparkly lace trimmed,
liquid gold. Beautiful.
Oh, she was just great. And the thing she said about the other nominees.
Mm-hmm.
She had really thought about that.
Wow.
And then her, you know, she made us laugh when she was giving her speech. She made us cry because she was crying for a little bit there at the end. Was that for her mother? She was she was giving a tribute to her mother. So that, I think that moment was just a glorious moment at the Oscars. I also liked it when Monique, who won the Best Supporting Actress for Precious, when she reminded everybody how important it is to do what's right instead of what's popular. Because people had told her, you know, that your fans like you as a comedian, not as a dramatic actress. And I guess evidently it was hard for her to see herself doing a role like the role that she did in Precious, which was pretty... Oh, I mean, it was really something that was hard to believe that would be put on the screen, and she did it. She was just perfect in that role. So I thought that was a wonderful thing to say, do what's right instead of what's popular. And then I laughed very hard at Robert Downey Jr. and Tina Fey when they were bantering about the different ways an actor and a writer look at screenplays.
It was awesome.
How did you like the way Robert Downey Jr. looked, Nikki?
Oh, me? Oh,
yeah. How did you like the way
he always looked great.
But he had on this blue bow tie.
Yes.
And he had blue sunglasses to match the bow tie.
Yes.
I thought, boy, that's really accessorizing.
How much
of a
coincidence
great.
Is that? Because you asked about that, and that's who we're talking about in the chat right now is Robert Downey Jr.
We were asking
who would you like to see host the Oscars in the future, and my selection was Robert Downey Jr. So,
oh, he would be great.
I think he'd be great at that.
If He Who Shall Be Nameless turns it down again, then I could go for Robert Downey Jr. Yes, that would be
awesome. Oh, and then, hey, how about Tina Fey?
Oh, she.
Ben
she's
Stiller.
Oh, Ben Stiller. That was another one of the moments that I thought was very interesting and funny when Ben Stiller, made up as a Na'vi from Avatar, presented the best makeup award to the Star Trek folks.
It was great.
And his tail got away from him. Mm. I thought that was really, really, really funny. And I was, although I didn't predict this, and I just thought it would never happen, I guess, a woman finally being named Best Director. Hooray for Kathryn Bigelow.
Yay! It was a great movie.
Well, I thought it would be a sort of a horse race between her and her ex-husband, James Cameron. But I thought Cameron would win and not Kathryn Bigelow. But you
I
know
was
what?
Disappointed in that choice as best film, but I think she was definitely deserving
yes.
for best director. And as a lot of people have said, long past due that there was a female director who took that
mm-hmm.
award. I was, of course, a favor for the long shot. I was still kind of hoping that Up might have won best picture, but I guess that was too much to hope for.
Well, you know, it did get two awards. It did win.
Oh, I think
it won the best music or musical song, and then didn't it win? Animated movie, of course, mm-hmm. which everyone knew that it would win the animated
best original
animated
score.
Movie.
Yeah.
But do you think there's some hostility towards James Cameron because of how well Avatar has done? Isn't it the most? They kept saying it's made the most money of any
yes.
movie. I guess it surpassed Titanic.
He beat
and
himself. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. But do you think?
I don't
that
think
this,
so. I
don't
think
so.
No, because you know I loved Avatar, but and I actually, if you and Jazz and I have talked about this before, I don't think that the choices at all for movies last year were great. Or
no.
I just don't. So
no,
I think
I
that. It won the best special effects, which was totally right on and definitely should have. But
yes.
I don't know that it was the best movie of the year. I mean, it was
I
the funnest movie.
I have to agree with Nikki, but there's another factor there. I brought it up before, and I always hate saying this in front of Betty Jo because I just feel like I'm saying it to the wrong person, and she might take it the wrong way. But I have for years, and you know, I'm up past the half-century mark. I've been watching this a long time. I think for a long time there's been a bit of snobbishness in the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And if a movie is too popular with the public and makes too much money, I think it loses some votes in the Academy for something like this because they want to be a little more highbrow and go for something a little more artsy and, oh, we caught this film that you didn't catch. Just that, I don't know why, but I just get
mm-hmm.
an impression there's that sort of attitude that they want to go for the more, oh, well, we know about this secret nugget that you don't know about. And if a film is too popular and makes too much money and everybody's seen it, I think there's, at least for some of the members, there's less of an incentive to vote for it.
That's a good point. That might definitely be happening, and they certainly do like to go for the serious, you know, kind of downer movies. And
I do, yeah, I do kind of agree with you, except for there have been years like Lord of the Rings one and Titanic, do you know what I mean? So it's like hit
yes.
or miss.
But remember, Nikki just named the only two films
I guess that's
in
true.
Oscar history that won Best
okay.
Picture after having the biggest box office gross. That was
okay.
a trivia question that just came up this week. Those were the only two times it happened in the whole history of the Oscars.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that is
that's
a
right.
long time.
That's right.
Hmm.
And then, of course, I mean, if you throw in musicals, you've got what? An American in Paris and Oliver and The Sound of Music and Funny Lady and not too many more. Moulin Rouge didn't win, did it? Should have won, but I don't think it did win. So they're going for a little higher class film, I guess, and also
I think he's right.
Serious.
I think he hit it on the nose. They're going for to make us think they know more than we do. You know, like they have the inside track on really what's good, and we aren't smart enough to get it.
Well, that could be. Maybe we're not. I don't know.
Maybe that's one element, ladies, but then again, I think Betty Jo is touching on something that the Academy does look at more things then the general, and I'm going to turn right around on what I said before, but the big sellers are very often some of the special effects smashes, you know, like your Batman-type
mm-hmm.
movies and the superhero movies and the spaceships crashing, and they make a ton of money. But even I will admit that while those are very engaging and very popular and they make a lot of money, they don't always have it really the best acting or maybe the best storyline. They're just, you
very
know, really
true.
Big spectacles, you know, and people love a big spectacle. There's nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, maybe a lot of them weren't really deserving of a best, you know, best picture.
And also there's the Oscars are kind of anticlimactic anymore with all the various awards. Shows. I mean, you just have so many up to that point. You think, oh no, another one. But I'll always watch them. I mean, as long as I can, I'm going to be watching the Oscars, even when some of the speeches are really just way, way out of line. I was very disappointed with Jeff Bridges' speech. He just kind of meandered, you know, and I guess after Christoph Waltz's speech, I expected everybody to do a better job. But
remind me for a moment who, and I've already forgot. I feel horribly embarrassed. Who was the woman who started the speech, holding up the statue, and said, "Well, I've already got two of these." That was
the costume designer.
Costume designer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Well, I'll forgive her because she won for The Young Victoria, which was one of my favorite movies of the year, if you'll remember. So, and didn't she have on a costume herself? Hey.
Oh, she looked fabulous.
But
oh,
still, I thought that was
a
rather ungracious thing to say when you're being handed an Oscar. Well, I've already got two of these. I was like, oh, my God.
And
that
what
was
did you?
Kind of
yeah, but I just felt so happy about the Young Victoria winning something that I guess I didn't care if she said she had to. But what about the comments that Tim Robbins made about Morgan Freeman? I like the idea of having actors that know the nominees in the Best Actor and Best Actress categories saying nice things about them. But Tim Robbins' comments about Morgan Freeman were far from complimentary. Was I wrong in that? Was it just something that I missed?
How I took it is that they're such good friends that he could tease him that way.
That's probably right. But see, a lot of people watching didn't know that.
I know. It's got some controversy. So that and then missing Farrah Fawcett off the tribute.
Which tribute?
The tribute to the to the actresses that have passed away. They miss Farrah Fawcett.
How
in memoriam.
They miss Farrah Fawcett?
Oh no! Yep. Oh, that was some heads will roll over that one. I would think that was a beautiful. Other than that, then that was a beautiful part of the Oscars. I thought James Taylor did an excellent job, and he and the song he sang was quite appropriate. But I didn't notice that.
I feel that Morgan Freeman, though, we've discussed this in past shows over the years, that he's one of my favorite actors of all time and such a hardworking guy who is just always out there doing and always delivering. And yeah, he's had some duds, but just such a great career. And I think if there's anybody in Hollywood that deserves a modicum of respect, it's Morgan Freeman.
Yes, I think that's exactly the way I felt when I heard Tim Robbins' comments, and so I was glad when I heard Legacy say that who was staring at him and giving him a big smile when he stood up and did his flip.
Yep,
it was Morgan Freeman. And Morgan Freeman was my pick for the best actor of the year because he did such a great job in Invictus. And so maybe I was expecting a little more respect too from Tim Robbins, but maybe Tim is still feeling bad about breaking up with Susan Sarandon. Who knows? You just don't know what's going on behind the scenes, right?
And Invictus correct me if I'm wrong, that actually was one of the more, if you'll pardon the phrase, artsy films. It was about a very highbrow subject, historically accurate subject, you know, an analysis of a real person's life, and I was shocked that it wasn't even contention, you know, it didn't even get nominated for Best Picture. It was amazing.
It didn't get nominated for Best Picture. You see, when they have 10 nominees, I can't remember all 10 of them. But are you sure about that? Maybe I wanted it to be nominated so much I just thought
the nominees were Up in the Air, Up, A Serious Man, Precious, Inglourious Basterds, Hurt Locker, An Education, District 9, The Blind Side, and Avatar.
District 9 was a joke.
Well, it was very different, and I think it had a message, but it was a hard movie to watch. So many of the nominees were very hard to watch, and
particularly Precious. Maybe they bumped Invictus to put Precious in there. You know, they kind of fit in the same sort of slot.
Well, Invictus, they're both inspiring movies in some way, but Precious was a lot harder to watch than Invictus was. But definitely, that should have been on the list. You know, I wanted to spend some time talking about Alice in Wonderland, and here it is. We've only got 4 minutes remaining, so I guess what I should say is that we'll talk about it another time. But I hope everyone gets a chance to see it. That movie kind of snapped me out of my 2010 movie doldrums. Did either one of you get a chance to see Alice in Wonderland?
I haven't gotten to see it. I saw the previews when I saw Avatar, and I can't wait to see it.
That is on my list of must-see. My wife wants to see it very badly. Last weekend we did not. I am hoping this week we will get out to see it.
Well, please do, because it is not to be missed. I mean, the look of the film steals the show, but the performances and the voice talent, they're absolutely extraordinary. And I saw it the way Johnny Depp will have to see it, in 2D, because my eyes don't adjust to 3D, but neither do his eyes adjust to 3D.
There you go.
So
you're going to be seeing that for the Oscars next year? You think Alice in Wonderland will be on the list, Betty Jo?
Oh, it's on my list already. It'll take, I don't know. I don't know if anything can bump it off my list. And, of course, Johnny Depp isn't the main character, but when he's on screen, of course, he's as captivating as ever. And
you should get him on here to talk about that.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah. Good
from
luck
your
with
lips,
that.
From your lips to God's ear, definitely. I have my assignment now to get
Nikki
Johnny Depp
swoon
on
and never recover.
I know.
You have no idea. I have tried and tried and tried to get him on the air for probably over 2 years.
Oh no. Well, don't give up. Absolutely.
Okay.
We have to just keep on. We have to keep on keeping
All right.
on.
Oh my God, we're out of time.
We are out of time, so thank you so much, Nikki and Jazz, for talking about the Oscars. It's been such fun, and this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to all the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support and connection with our show, and special thanks to the fantastic Legacy Perez for taking time to be with us today. Thanks also to our chatters and other listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Please come back on Tuesday, March 16th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, when our special guest will be independent filmmaker Gary King, who will be talking with us about his exciting plans to make, a drum roll please, a feature film musical. As the world's most avid movie musical fan, you know I can hardly wait to talk with Gary. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our insightful and entertaining film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, as usual, here's A.J. Daniels to close the show with the song we dedicate to all our wonderful Blog Talk Radio listeners.
shall love you.